Session number 11315, Rule 3.
Mr. Young, Reel 3.
I used to most nights be sleeping in my office, and very often I'd stay in London during the day, and the weather was magnificently lovely weather. I used to go up to have breakfast in the somewhere in the round Piccadilly, and then I used to go with the papers and sit in the Green Park in a deck chair facing south, and you would see these while sitting there. You would see these infernal devices coming over, and you would pray that they didn't cut out overhead. But you knew some unfortunate individuals were going to cop it further north as these went over. But it used to be quite extraordinary to sit in the Green Park in a deck chair and watch this overhead. It was, a macabre thing to experience.
What about the V2s? How did they compare with the V1?
They were vicious. They really were vicious because you didn't hear them. All you knew was when the explosion occurred.
Did you know of any particular places that were hit by the rockets?
Yes, I can remember the one particular was I think it's the American church in Tottenham Court Road. I remember one afternoon, I suppose around about 5 o'clock, 5:30, one of these hearing this colossal bang outside the office. And I think that was where one fell there. That was the one that, where the American church is now in Tottenham Court Road. That came down there. And various, you know, they weren't as many, fortunately, my goodness, how fortunately, as the flying bombs. But when they did come over and they did fall, they were a very, very nasty form of device.
What did you think of the performance of the emergency services in London during the bombing campaign?
Oh, they did put on tremendous, you know, these chaps in the civil defence and the fire brigade, you know, they really did. Their operations were, you know, they had to face up to, because they were always not only the danger in fighting the fires, but they were always in the danger that the fires would act as a target for the bombers, and that they were liable to have bombs come down on top of them while they were trying to put a fire out. Or walls collapsing and all sorts of things. They went through, believe me, the chaps during the Blitz, the chaps in the civil defence and particularly in the fire brigade were very, very much frontline troops.
Did you personally have to perform any duties?
Well, I was... it makes me rather laugh at it at the moment. I was in charge of of our gas squad in case they dropped gas on the roof or on the building. I was in charge of a small squad who was supposed to go up and decontaminate this lot.
How would you have done that?
Well,
How would you have decontaminated the gas?
Well, you had stuff you spread on it, and you swept it aside and did all sorts of odd things, but...
Like a chemical?
Yeah, but I suffered from heights. And my terror... And quite frankly, my chief terror in those days when I had to go on the roof of the Daily Express and clamber up ladders up the side of the building and that sort of thing. In our exercises, I think I suffered more fear during the war doing that than anything else.
Did you ever feel that the Germans might win the war?
No. Definitely no.
Even in the blackest days of Dunkirk?
Even in the very worst days of the war. I never had, when I say I don't know any of my people I knew ever recognized for a moment that the idea of defeat just did not happen or arise. You knew that something, that in some way, like everything else, in the end, it would come all right.
You say not even in the blackest days, but can you recollect which were the blackest days from your own recollection of it? Was it Dunkirk or the fall of Singapore?
Well, you had several spells, you see. The Dunkirk time was an anxious time. You knew that the British army was trapped over on these beaches, and the anxiety was how many of them would they get off. And then later, when the Blitz started, when the flying bombs in particular, I mean, people had been subjected to night after night of ordinary bombing, and then you had this new thing, these flying bombs, which people could see themselves. And then you had this this latest thing, the rockets, which you didn't hear. You knew nothing about until the infernal thing went off, until it landed, and it did awful damage. Those were the sort of the worst moments, I think.
What do you remember about Victory in Europe Day in London and the celebrations for VE Day?
Well, it was... you know, curiously enough, my recollections of Armistice Day in 1918 were much more vivid than they were of London in the celebration of, you know, VE Day. I would like to tell you one story of the war, of the Blitz.
Please.
Which has never appeared, it never appeared in any newspaper and was never printed. We had on our staff at that time a little man called Chadwick, to whom bombs, he had as much respect for bombs as he had for snowflakes. And no matter how heavy a raid was taking place, Chadwick wanted to be there. He was an extraordinary chap. Times he had to be restrained almost from going out until the raid had quietened down. On this particular night, there'd been a raid on Croydon, and Mr. Chadwick departed to Croydon. And in due course, he returned from Croydon in a state of extraordinary excitement. And I said, "Freddie, what was it like? What's going on down there?" "Oh," he said, "I've got a great story. And I thought, "Extraordinary." I said, "Well, you better write it." So he sat down at a typewriter and pounded away at this. And eventually he produced the story. And the story was that a bomb had fallen on a house in Croydon. It had gone through the roof, through one of the bedrooms, and landed up in the kitchen of the woman who was living in the house. And when it was reported that this bomb had fallen on the house, but had unfortunately not exploded. It was an unexploded bomb. And so the civil defense people went in and eventually said, "Well, where's the bomb?" So the woman of the house said, "Well, it's there, in there." So they opened the cupboard, and there was the bomb. So they took the bomb out. The name of the lady who owned the house and who was living there in the kitchen was, believe it or not, Mrs. Hubbard. Mrs. Hubbard had a bomb in her cupboard.
You were talking earlier about the staffing difficulties in the war because of the going of the men to the war. Did that mean that you got more women working on the express in the war?
Oh, yes. We had quite a number of girls and came in as reporters, and they were very, very good. And their extraordinary thing was their extraordinary courage. I mean, they would face anything and tackle anything. Outstanding, of course, was this remarkable girl we had, Hilda Marchant.
Why was she so important?
Because she was an absolutely first-class reporter, one of the best women reporters I've ever known in all the 52 years I was in Fleet Street. Absolutely brilliant girl. And she was the girl who went to Coventry on the Blitz when Coventry was bombed, and did the famous story on the bombing of on the bombing of Coventry.
I think you were telling me that she invented the
and
word.
She it was who first used the phrase in relation to the Coventry Coventrated, relation to severe bombing. And we had one or two others who were, a number of other women reporters who were absolutely first class.
Did any of them go abroad to report the war?
Emma?
Did any of them go abroad to report the war?
Oh, yes, war correspondents. There was Diana Gibson. She went, she was in, I think if I remember, she was a war correspondent. Hilda Marchant was one time, I think, if I remember rightly. Oh, there were many women, fine reporters.